Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello everyone, this is Red News Podcast 235, and we're sat in Porto, in a very grey, drizzly, misty Porto. I'm joined with Riaz, Paul, Danny and John, and yeah, how are you doing?
Good, mate. Slightly stressful journey yesterday, given that sort of left the house at 7:30 and didn't get into Porto till like, you know, it should have been a simple 2.5 hour flight
to Lisbon.
To Lisbon, and then another short hop to Porto, and it took like 15 hours or something. But
at least you're here, unlike a lot of
people. At least
we're
here, yeah. But it's very strange at the minute to like to put people in the picture, because it's not raining, but you literally are living in a cloud, and just it's very, very wet. So it's just it's very, very wet. But it's still boiling up. You know what I mean? It's shorts and t-shirts weather, but the weather can well, the atmosphere doesn't match it. It's very, very odd conditions. But it's been all right. It's been a good day. We've had a good mooch round today. A few beers. We didn't have much to drink last night, did we? We didn't have time.
No, we came in late, didn't we?
Yeah.
We tried to find a place and have a beer and stuff like that. So
it's pretty wild. We're just learning what's happened to the day trip today. The day trip are still stuck at Manchester Airport.
And it's 3 o'clock.
Unless they've just left, because their plane broke down in Rome, and there's not. So that's nothing to do with the weather.
Not on time.
But I think the problem here is that everyone's still flying in, but clearly they've had to reduce the time in between flights landing. So whereas they might have 60 an hour, they're clearly only allowed 30 an hour at the minute. But
so what do you think about United?
Do we have to talk about that? I'd rather talk about Paul's assessment.
We could make it grey news instead and just talk about the weather if you want. But
well, just in general.
There's not much difference between just the weather.
That is true.
What we're all anticipating as a result.
Hang on.
Let's talk about the last week.
Well, the Spurs game was absolutely horrific, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've over the start of the season, I know it's been bad, but I can understand it, because he's bedding new players in. I'm not making excuses, but there's been a lot of changes, and amidst all that, I'd seen, as although the Liverpool game and the Spurs games was terrible, Palace was like really encouraging. I think the shape of the team and the setup, I've seen like noticeable signs of improvement. But then you have a game like that Spurs game, and you're thinking, well, am I completely wrong with that assessment? Because it was just absolutely shocking, wasn't it? And that was almost, you put Luke Shaw into the team, that was almost his first choice 11 on the pitch, and it was just dismal.
And as we've said, most of the players on the pitch are his signings now. It's his team now.
Yeah. But it was inexcusable. It was just an absolutely dismal showing.
Thank you. Yeah. What do you think? Do you think his time's up? What are your thoughts on?
Well, it's getting to that. Personally, still, I might be in the minority now. I hope not. I hope we show a little bit more backbone. And there'll be people up in arms going, "What are you talking about?" But I just think, given that they've made that decision in the summer, and it was a considered decision that took a number of weeks to arrive at that conclusion, he's our man. And we've given him another $250 million to spend and brought another 4 or 5 players in. I just think it'd be a terrible look if we were to actually go, actually, no, and then we pulled the trigger now.
However painful it is, it does make the owners look stupid, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't think they will do that. I might be wrong. They might get beat tonight. They might get rolled over at Villa on Sunday, and then that'll be it. Sunday night, Monday morning, he's gone. But I don't think that will happen. I think he'll be given another. I think he'll be given till Christmas at least.
So, Paul, sorry, my phone went on, so I missed a bit. But
So are you saying if we do get rolled over tonight and Sunday, he'll still be there next week? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying.
Because if he is, I'm going jumping off that bridge.
Well, I'm saying I think that would be, I think it would be the wrong thing to do to just get an itch, you know.
But then the question is, like, they were literally speaking to other people in the summer.
I know they were, yeah.
And was that just because they couldn't? He's only in the job now because they couldn't get anyone better.
Potentially, yes.
If there was someone better, he wouldn't be here now, would he?
Why a new contract? That's the bit I didn't
understand. He didn't get any contract. All he did was trigger his 1 year extension.
Oh, right.
That was all it was. He's,
but the players they bought are his players, aren't they? Yeah. They bought players, so that's showing actually we want some backing for him. We see some longevity in it. I think, though, Paul, I think we're not going to get a result today. We know that. We know
so
Villa.
You don't think we'll win
no,
today?
No.
We don't know that.
No. We know Villa will turn us off over. They will do. And he'll be gone this time next week. I don't want him to be gone because I think it doesn't make any sense. We keep doing this immediate reaction. We'll have a bit of a dead cat bounce and then we'll be back to square one again.
Other than the FA Cup, is it a knee-jerk reaction at this point? Because last year was...
Well, as
was
Paul said, in the summer, we've backed him.
Yeah.
We spent lots of money.
But then the question is, with the new structure... I thought the new structure and the people that we brought in, the signings weren't necessarily the manager's signings anymore. So, do you know what I mean? Does it make a difference? Do you get what I mean? Like, so then maybe they won't, like me and Barney in the group said this the other day, like, maybe they won't get rid of him because then the people who have made the signings, it looks bad on them, doesn't it? Because then it's like, have they just made poor decisions themselves? And they'll keep the manager...
Well, there was no outstanding candidate, was there?
Paul will kick me for this, but do you honestly think them signings, hand on heart, are going to take us back to the top of the league? Really? Honestly? Truthfully? Do you?
No.
They're not?
Not really.
They're not. They're average players, all of them. Some are better than others.
But I think overall...
We're in that position again, I think, that we've been in for the last few years, where we've talked about an overhaul. So if a new manager does come in, an overhaul. And we keep talking about signings keep coming and different players keep coming, but we keep talking that we've got to
How long's the transition?
Talking about transition, we've all acknowledged that this was going to take 2 or 3 years. Do you bail 6 weeks in?
Yeah.
Or do you have a little bit more fortitude and think, well, actually, there's going to be like downtimes during this entire process.
Do you generally think that it'll turn it around?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But it's the same as what I said in the summer, I don't know if long-term he is the man. I suspect he probably isn't. But I did think it was the wrong time to sort of dispense with him. Mm. It's a down point, isn't it? You know what I mean? There's going to be ups and downs, and we're currently on the crest of a slump, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you always expect after a down that there's got to be a reaction. And let's see if we see that tonight or on Sunday, because that was a down on against Spurs. That was bloody awful. Do you know, I didn't make myself watch it, but by accident I ended up watching the Match of the Day highlights about two nights ago. And it's horrible viewing. At the time when you're at the game, you don't always see it all. So, for example, when the first goal, when the lad ran from centre-back and he ran up, I'm watching that. What I'm not watching is the lot in the middle that's just left his man by 10 yards and basically put his arms up in the air.
Well, I said this, like Nick mentioned it as well, like I think it was in the FC 20 game actually, because I was sat in a different place for that game rather than where I'm normally sat, and I was in Shane's ticket, so I was right behind the goal almost, and his positioning is so off. Number of times, like, that there was 3 or 4 men like on that back post and it's just like we've conceded goals like that already this season. It's
frightening.
That's coaching.
They put up the statistics of before Bruno got sent off, and it was like Spurs had 70-odd% possession, so we had equal men at this point. They'd had something stupid like, I don't know, 12 shots was it or something. It was completely one-sided. Mm-hmm. When we had equal players.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was early on in the game, at home.
Yeah.
I have to admit that I was shocked by that game, because, as Paul said, for the Palace game, that's the best 45 minutes I've seen us play for years. I thought we were outstanding against a Premiership team. Mm-hmm. I know they're not doing well, Palace, but I thought we were outstanding. And we go to the Tottenham game, and I thought, you know what, perhaps there is a bit of recovery here, perhaps we're doing okay. It was just shocking. Mm-hmm. And
again, I find myself leaving my seat, walking home after 50 minutes because I don't want to see any more of it.
I know everyone lost the plot last season at the fact United finished eighth, but in reality, that finishing position wasn't indicative of the performances. The performances are much worse than that. We actually achieved a really decent finish based on what we were watching week in, week out. So I think we're starting from a much lower point than people are acknowledging. You know, we're sort of like 15th or 16th in Premier League terms.
We're very much a mid-table team.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I know it's hard to accept that, but that's what we are essentially, like, you know, and it's sad to see, but so yeah, tonight, what do you think tonight?
I've not seen, I've no idea if Porto or anything.
Well, they lost.
Yeah, to
Porto. This new format, it makes it hard to judge, doesn't it? But they played that, is it Polo Glimt or whatever,
yeah.
Who we do happen to play, but they lost to them, didn't they? I think they lost to them in
3-2
the first, yeah. So, but then,
This new format.
I'm coming over to you because you're quite far away.
This new format, I didn't even know who the four home games were. I have no idea. I was looking to try and work out who we had, and someone said we were playing Rangers. I went, what, really? Because I only sussed the away games.
We sussed out the away games for the flights.
And you just think we're still really playing them at home.
Yeah.
And,
didn't even consider it. I couldn't tell you the others are. I know it's Rangers. I haven't got a club structure.
Just back on Ten Hag, I've missed you a bit fit there. My question is, if you can get beat 7-0 at Anfield and retain your job, and 3-0 at Old Trafford and retain your job, it's cast iron for ages. It just makes no difference what we do for the next 2, 3, 4 games. They're going to stick with him. They really are. And then the really important thing is we don't get the ex-England manager, so he needs to get a job.
He needs to get a job
before we get rid of Ten Hag.
That was, I looked on my phone last night, and that was somebody, BBC or someone, has put it as a possibility, and I was like, you've got to be kidding.
It's going to be him or Tuchel, isn't it? Like, if it happens, because I just don't think we've got the. I still don't even think the new people have got the nous to just pluck some new up-and-coming person that we've never, you know, like Brighton. I know that the levels or whatever, but they sign, they get managers in who.
Well, those.
But we've not got the nous to do that, have we?
They get so much more time. They could lose 4 or 5 days on a trot, and it won't be noted in the press.
No, I know there's levels.
There's managing Brighton.
We
draw one game, and it's the end of the world. You know, never mind a defeat. So it's a different level of press.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think they'll win. I think they might win. That surprised us. And if Real said they'd then lose at Villa, we'll no doubt win at Villa. Because he's rubbish.
Real knows nothing about football. Never kicked a ball in his life, has he, John?
Prediction for tonight?
I don't know. I know Porto got beat. I'm hoping for a bit of a reaction. I'm gonna sit on the fence and say a draw. It'll be a 1-1 draw.
Okay. You got a prediction?
I think they'll get beat tonight. Big crowd, noisy. I can't see us getting anything here or at Fenerbahce. I think we'll be starting from, you know, I mean, from after those two games, then we should hopefully see some progress, because they've got to win the three home games. I mean, looking at who they're playing. It's like, come on.
But then you'd think we'd have beaten 20 last week.
Well, yeah, definitely. But again, first half in that game, I thought they were all right. Maybe I'm just like deluded.
Maybe this is just the difference between having someone who can just put the ball in the net.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and I know we said it over the summer about signing another an actual goal scorer. Like, I know it's really easy to say, but if you've got someone who can finish it off, then we just wouldn't look in that same position, would we? But
and we have been horrendously unlucky with the goals disallowed and VAR decisions. It's just like that just shows no sign of like coming to an end. That because like we get decisions against us that no other team would. I know everyone probably has that perspective, but we do seem to routinely pick like on the receiving end of like terrible decisions.
Yeah. Have you got a prediction?
I'm going to go with the same thing. I think we're going to lose tonight, just because do so badly in Europe, or we do badly at home as well.
I'm sure, I can't remember if I said it even, but I'm sure I saw that we've won one in the last
eight.
Around that, pushing 10 in Europe.
And we
which
think
is,
that one was
which
the one where
ridiculous.
Anana saved the penalty.
We were just talking earlier about last season, how we absolutely, you know, we managed to score 3 goals in all 3 away games. I think scored more goals than, like, most people in the entire competition during the group stage.
Yes.
And still went out at the first, you know.
Because we were just conceding so many as well.
Like, that Copenhagen game and Galatasaray away were just both incredible, weren't
they? Yeah, ridiculous. Just couldn't kill the games off.
No.
Anything else to add? Got anything else?
Football related, no.
Yeah.
Anything life? We got any hates or loves of the week or anything?
Air travel.
Yeah, air travel's definitely a hate of the week, isn't it? Bloody hell.
We had a good one last night. We were getting off a plane in Lisbon. And, you know, like, people are fighting about taking the time getting stuff out of the overhead lockers. Some bloke, like, imploring us from like 3 rows away, proper white knight syndrome. He said, "This lady here has a connecting flight to catch." I was like, and we were like, "Porto, yeah?" And she was like, "Yeah." And it was like, "Yeah, we're on the same one." It's like, "I'm sorry, mum, yeah. But if people are pissed about, then what can we always do about it?" So yeah, ban overhead lockers. It's a long-term gripe of mine.
Oh, we had a good chat about that.
Unless you can get a bag that you can shove under the seat in front, get out. Check your baggage. I'm sick of it.
Really? Yeah. There must be a lot of people who... apparently there's a lot who aren't going to make it today, which is
sad. It's just been an absolute shit show. I don't know anyone who's arrived on time.
I've only made it because I got here 3 days ago.
But to be fair, if you look behind you, it's PC. Look at it.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, we're sat on one side of the river and it's... 50% visibility to the other side, I'd say.
Hopefully we won't be able to see the football.
Well, yes. Right, have you got any hates or anything?
Against the Spurs game, I had a giant sat in front of me.
That's
it must be one of these, you know, when someone sells a season ticket back and somebody buys it. I think the lad was American, I don't know why. Great big fella, and I couldn't see a thing. And he's at Stretford End or whatever, you just used to step, you know, try and step one way, step the other. But when he's directly in front of you, it's just... So I had to stand. Then I had to stand up with.
Don't you think he's
a row back with Barney, and I could hardly see then.
I had an angry child next to me, who was like, you know, like because
that was me.
No. That's normal, yeah. But because I was like edging to one side to see, see away from said giant. Well, there was another giant in front of me. There were 2 giants, weren't there? Seriously.
Perhaps we're just getting old and small.
No. It's K-Star getting infiltrated by a breed of giants. because I had the temerity to like impose about 4 or 5 centimetres onto this child's territory, he had a proper... He was probably about 11 or 12. He had a like proper like looked at his mum for like validation and then went, "Excuse me, I want to sit down." And then put his seat down, meaning I like moved edge back to the right.
Claimed his territory back.
Sat down for all of like 3-4 seconds. Put his seat back up and stood up again. And that was me back
in my
place.
Might as well have stuck 2 fingers up back.
If that had happened to Danny, there'd have been murder. I've been sat here for 25 years. I've got my name on it. There'd have been murder.
The giant that was in front of me was filming it the whole game. And normally I'd say, "Oh, you're not bad, put your phone down." But because he was like 8'4", I was like, "Oh."
He looked like Purple Hackett.
He was massive, you know, wasn't he?
Honestly, I'm
Nathan. You know,
I don't understand filming it.
I'm going to say something upbeat because we're moaning about the football, we're moaning about the weather, we're moaning about how
children.
To get here, moaning about children, moaning about tall Americans who sit in front of you watching the game. No.
Let's do a hate before.
Hate of the week. You moaning all the time.
And this is the upbeat bit. We shouldn't even be here. God knows how we got into Europe, but we're here, okay? And we're all having a drink. Okay, the weather's a lot, whatever, but it's... I was selling these like yesterday. I love the European aways. It's like going on a stag do, but without having someone have the trauma of getting married at the end of it. It honestly is. You go away with your mate somewhere, have a drink. There's the inconvenience of a bit of a game. watch it for an hour or so, come away. It's great. So I'm pleased to be here.
Oh, I've never been to Porto before, and it is lovely. I really like it. I've just done a little.
Back in October, though,
I've just done a little port tour, which was interesting and quite nice. And
we've done it before. We did it. Me and Paula did it in '97. And I'm looking across the bridge there to see where that crane was and all the United. It was frightening, eh? It's how many years ago? 27 years ago. And then me and John have done Braga in the middle of that.
Twice,
I think. So, we've been here before. It's good.
It's lovely.
What worries me is the gap's like 10 years between each one, and I'm like, in 10 years' time, it's getting there. Anyway, John's not got hate, John's got a love of the week. I don't know.
Like it a week.
All right. That's all it is. He just said that Porto's lovely. It is lovely. On that note, on the note that Porto is lovely, we'll leave it at that for now.
Just hope the football team aren't lovely tonight. Oh, the shit.
Why?
You hope. No, oh, Porto are shit. Porto, you hope Porto are shit. Right. Right. We don't have to hope that ours would be shit.
Yeah. It won't let us down in that regard.
Right, on that note, we'll speak to you later. See you later. Goodbye. Bye. Hello again. We're still sat by the river. It is a river, isn't it?
Yeah, moved.
It is a river.
Big old river.
And I was just talking about the last time that people have been here to Porto, and because I was saying about my grandpa, he had a season ticket for 50 years, and the last away game that he did was Porto. And he must have been in his 70s even then, and he didn't go again after that. That was his last one because it all kicked off, and his best mate got battened in the head and stuff. And he, at that point, they were like, "Can't be arsed with it anymore." So, but yous were there as well, weren't you? So I just thought it'd be quite interesting for, you know, because obviously I wasn't there, for you to talk about what it was like at that time. This was in '97, wasn't it?
Yeah, my recollections of it, in that we got 7,000 tickets. And the game became a bit of a non-event after we'd won the home game 4-0, but everyone was still giddy for going.
Was this like quarter-final?
Quarter-final, yeah. And it'd been like a relatively uneventful day, just drinking in the sun. We stayed in Espino, which was a little village a little bit further out of Porto, but then I got a bus in. And anyway, uneventful day, all fine. Got to the ground probably an hour before kickoff, and it was basically, from my recollection of it, it was like one turnstile.
And this is the old ground.
The old ground, the Estadio de Santas. And they basically shoved you down like a narrow corridor, which was all unlit, very like sparse lighting. But it like quickly became like it was like on Pending. Top. It was like you were very, very crammed, and it was like, and the crowd wasn't moving. People were getting agitated, and every now and again there'd be it would move five yards, and obviously the crowds are building up behind you, and it was like pretty sketchy then, because you'd been there 40 minutes and like it's pitch black, and there's minimal light in there, and. As you got further towards the turnstile, you learned that the turnstile was just basically an industrial roller shutter door.
It was like a concertina door
sideways. Not a roller shutter going up. It was like a concertina door, and then every sort of 2 minutes or so, they would open that door, and by force of people getting pushed, 60, 70 people would get shoved in. Your match ticket was like literally never showed that, and then behind that roller shutter door, there was literally a small corridor, and on either side of that, there's like a line of police, everyone holding a baton.
Yeah.
Just basically, you basically went through holding your head hunched down as you were getting hit with fucking batons. It was proper bad old days. Then you got inside, turnstile like the terrace in. Which was allegedly seated end, which was basically huge concrete blocks, no steps or nothing.
You sat on the steps, if you were standing.
Obviously, everyone stood up.
Yeah.
So the game passes off without incident. It's a boring 0-0 draw. Nothing happens. No one's really interested. And then at the end, they just kept us behind for an inordinate amount of time. It must have been an hour plus.
Mm-hmm.
And then people start getting agitated. Then we were quite near that, like where the exit was, and you can hear people like that bang, 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 banging on the door.
Well, they were getting squashed because I was quite close to them barriers on the way out, and people were obviously been there a while and started banging at it, not just because they wanted to get out, but because people behind were pushing.
Yeah,
getting squashed up against the barrier. Yeah. So they opened the doors and then just rubber bulleted everyone that was at the front. And I remember a lad in our hotel turned up.
Hang on, that's fast forward.
Oh,
a bit.
Go on then. Sorry.
But we were still, from my perspective, we was back in the ground. There was people getting carried back into the ground, like covered in blood. And, you know, no, obviously there's no first aid on football. People literally, like, they'd open the doors, were firing bullets into the crowd with point blank range. And people's getting carried back on. Carried back in.
Literally like a war zone.
Yeah, yeah, it was mental, mate. And this is smoke.
And the lads at the front that had been shot couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't move. They couldn't go backwards. They just wanted to leave early. They got trapped behind that door and couldn't get back or forward. And then they were the ones that got shot. But the lad in our hotel that turned up, he had like a banana with blood pouring, like a bandage. And then I remember saying, Jesus, mate, what's happened to you? Thinking he'd been battered. And he said, well, I was at the front and that door opened and I heard gunshot. So the initial reaction is to crouch down and they're aiming for your knees, they're aiming for your legs.
Right.
And he got hit in the head. And he has a good hospital, but he was in the right way. He got a rubber bullet in his head.
There was
carnage. It was just so badly organised.
And I'm going to say, like, obviously I wasn't around for being at these things. And as much as we deride all the new stadiums and the sterility of, you know, it's better in that respect, isn't it? But the one thing obviously I've done a lot less Euroways than you guys have. But the thing I don't get is, I get that you want to keep people behind so there's no mixing after the game. But the longer you keep older people, the more people are going to be pissed off. Do you know what I mean? Like you're saying, like you're being kept older for an hour.
You treat people like animals. Yeah, like animals.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm sure if you just let people out at nil-nil game, there'd be hardly any trouble.
Any trouble between us and Porto fans in the day over there, over the other side of the river.
I think it was.
I think we've seen more. They didn't see anything.
It's a power
ridiculous
trip, isn't it? It's like what benefit are they getting out of it? But yeah.
I've got to be honest on the way in. And I mean, it was 27 years ago, I was a lot younger than I am now. I've got to be honest, I was a bit worried getting in. It was that little cobbled path that was badly lit, and then I remember the police putting a barrier. You know, one of them temporary railings, them temporary gates that you get, that fence? Put one of them across, and you knew. I just kept thinking, if that goes, which it's going to in a minute, I've got to stay on my feet.
Yeah, yeah.
That was it, and it went, and then everyone just piled over the top. And it was
dangerous.
It was awful, honestly.
Yeah.
But fingers crossed it won't be like that tonight. But as you say, new stadiums, you know, that's the one thing that is better.
I just thought I'd, because we were talking about it anyway, so I just thought I'd record it.
Dedicate that section to Wazza. That's presented by Dinosaurs.
So yeah, that's for you, Wazza. Enjoy. All right, see you later. Goodbye.
Go.
I started 5 seconds ago, so people are going to hear you giving me that. So, hello again.
Giving you rules. Giving you rules and regulations.
It's true. It's true.
I have to read the rules.
You know. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
We've just come back into the centre of Porto. The game finished. It finished quite a while ago, actually, didn't we? But we beat the rush, should we say. What are your thoughts on that one, Paul?
Well, it was exactly as we said earlier, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No surprise whatsoever. I think everyone in the ground was having
conversations in their own little groups when we went 2-0 up, saying, well, this ain't over yet. It's just the same shit show, isn't it, over and over and over again. Two slightly fortuitous goals, 2-0 up, you should be cruising. That could, in different times, that would have been an instruction for a team to kill the game, close it down. We're completely incapable of that. Stop banging on about cheese when there's other people talking.
Sorry. Rule 69.
It was just the usual shit show, wasn't it? Zero control after the break. Some baffling substitutions on the face of it, but one of them ended up scoring the equaliser. Up to the heady heights of 21st in the group, though, so it's not all bad. That's something to celebrate. We're looking good for qualification.
Yeah, literally, when we scored the second one, me and Riaz sort of turned to each other, didn't we, and sort of said, we can't get carried away here because we know what will happen.
And very predictable.
And it was, yeah.
And that's exactly what John said. 2-0, he said to me, just remember last year, where we went last year, being in the same position, Copenhagen, Galatasaray, you know, you look at, all right, Munich, we weren't 2-0 up, but Munich, losing all them goals, it was possible. And then, in a blink of an eye, it's 2-0. And it was unbelievable.
Was that, so did Nick say the other day, is that the 24th game now? Under, sorry, I'm just getting some cheese and olives.
Cheese.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that's the 24th game now under Ole, not under Ole, bloody Freudian slip, under Eric, that we've conceded 3 goals now, or 3 or more goals.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. That's
it's ridiculous, that. Isn't it?
How many?
And that's many and.
Doesn't matter, does it?
But so is that now? We must be pushing 10 games where we've only won one in Europe, as well in these last 10.
Yeah. I can only remember one, which was the Onana penalty save and up there.
It's just
the,
not.
The last time we won in Europe was, I think I was thinking about it during the game, but I think it was Betis. And when was that? 2 years ago.
We didn't win there.
Yeah, we won
1-0.
Rashford scored there.
Yeah.
Did
we?
We were there.
But I'm sure I saw the other day that we'd won 1-8 in your in you know. So
yeah, well,
it keep the, it keep that, and that was before 20, and you know obviously we've not won one in the last two.
We're absolutely shocked.
Oh yeah.
I think John made a good point in the game when they scored the first one. That if you watch, and I've seen it back on TV, if you watch Rashford's positioning for the guy that crossed it,
what?
He was jogging and he was 10 yards behind him. But a lot of people don't see that. You see what happens in the defence and you blame the defence. So you've got to look at what happens before it gets to the defence. And if you go back to like Giggs, Beckham, whoever, those guys that played on the wing come back and helped your people playing at fullback. Honestly, watch it. He's a mile off. He should be closing in. To some degree, the second, when you watch the second goal, Rashford on the edge of the box, and maybe this is a bit harsh, but it could have got out to him. And
the first goal felt like there was a lot of space Ericsson. For it. Yeah,
you've
it was.
You've got to get across to him. You've got to.
And this is saying that those our first two goals, any other time we wouldn't have scored either of them. They were very poor goalkeeping, like our goals. I mean, so we were lucky to be 2-0 to start with. So, you know, like...
Oh, Butterfingers.
Yeah,
one.
It was... So, it's... But no one here is surprised
what's
about what's happening.
The one thing I noticed is...
Can we bother to...
You looked at their lad up front.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Scored 2 and a set of assists. Was it Bebe? Is that the... He was a right handful. And then you look at Hoyland. All right, he scored a goal, but... I just think he's just...
Well, it's not
I don't know.
Yet. Come on.
I'd have swapped their lad up front for ours all day long. He's a handful. Watch him.
I've seen enough of Xerxes. I don't think he's like fucking a top level player. But in what I've seen so far, he offers far more as regards link play and such than Hoyland does. Because Hoyland offers nothing.
Wait, is that the lad that Weghorst?
Yeah, but people are having this conversation comparing to Weghorst. I think he's a better player than Weghorst.
I feel that Xerxes, it feels like it's still a strange signing though, because it feels like he's playing in positions that we've already got. We've already got Bruno. We've already got, you know, Mount. We've already got players in that position.
Who's Mount? What does Mount do? Can someone tell us?
Thank you.
We'd already left by this point, but Bruno getting sent off is, you know.
Well, just on that, when he got booked, about a couple of minutes after, one of them kicked his heels, and it was away from the ball, mm-hmm. and I clocked it, and I said to John, you're trying to wind him up here. Mm-hmm.
I've not seen the sending off because we
didn't want to get locked in and left, but it was almost like they were trying to goad him, knowing he'd react.
Yeah.
And you're booked in a game like that, and they obviously all know it because it's the Portuguese connection. They're going to be baiting him. You've got to rise above it.
You're the captain, aren't you, as well? You know what I mean? Like,
so I didn't say
we've got this goblet of port.
Goblet of port.
What?
One.
We didn't really mention about that. I still think that the red card the other day was, you know, it got somehow got turned around. Like, it shouldn't have been turned over purely because there's VAR. So what's the point in VAR?
Well, the guy doing the VAR, you can understand the ref in real time making a mistake, but the guy looking at it on VAR should be sacked.
You know what?
When you see that on the TV.
Talking about things on periphery. Honestly, is this, that, the other? It's all on periphery. Generally, we're just not very good.
Paul said,
it's a valid point, though, that VAR should be taking away red cards and rescinded.
Paul, it wouldn't have changed the result on Sunday.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, so
without Riaz, it wouldn't. But hang on, that's a completely different point. Why are red cards being overturned in an age where we have video-assisted mm-hmm. referees? We've got seven staff on there to look at the incident again and make a decision, an informed decision.
I understand what you're
it's
saying.
It's mental.
I understand what you're saying, but what we're talking about is our general demise.
That's a bigger question.
It doesn't matter whether he's sent off or not, yellow card, but it doesn't matter. Generally, we're rubbish. Do you know what was so sad? We left on, was it 60, 70 minutes we left? Lots of other people left. We saw them. And they just thought, we're not good. Yes. We're not. And these are old fellows that have been there for mm-hmm. a long time, and we all. We're all out there.
We looked at each other and was like, is being stuck in there for an hour after the end of the game? Is that worth sitting and watching what turned out to be Maguire getting a 90th minute equaliser? Not at all.
They're probably still in there now. Yeah, sat in a bar.
Yeah.
And
eating cheese.
And this is why you see the older ones leaving because we've been there and, you know.
Yeah.
The younger lad behind us said when we went, can't leave now. It's like, yes, we can. And in an hour and a half, mate, when you're locked in for an hour, you're back, you know. But each to their own, you can all, you know.
Well, I think this week, like, we've obviously, you know, we've got Villa in the next game.
Yeah, that's a worry because and obviously with their result yesterday,
What I'm going to say. In this week, we've failed to beat Porto, and they've beaten Bayern Munich at home, which tells you, you know, they won their last. They beat Bayern Munich last night, and Aston Villa. And that's who we've got on Sunday. What I'm saying. It's like that just shows. Where we are as clubs at the moment.
Do you know what that's so right?
What I think the passion means is we'll probably win at the Olympics.
When you start putting logic
to football, it falls down.
Okay. I think we'll get a 2-2 draw. Can I just point out, I got the score correct today. Sorry, not the score, I got the result correct. I said it was a draw.
You said it'd be 1-0.
When Nathan asked us before the game, I said 1-0. So I got the draw right.
Well,
what did you say? What did you say?
Well, 1-0 isn't the same as 3-0.
What did you say?
So if you put a bet on 1-0 and you turn up and say, right, it's 3-0, but can I cash out now because I got the draw.
I got the draw. What did you say?
Can you pause it? Because this is idiocy going on.
No, don't.
This is general idiocy. What are you talking about, the pair of you?
Let's.
I predicted the correct result being a draw today.
Are you taking this as a moral victory?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Christ.
At least
how's the cup of tea, Daniel?
Well, right.
That's pretty good.
Can we just make a point, Nathan?
Go on.
Right, so we ask for port, and they give us port, which is like half a pint of port.
It's
which
it's
is
like a goblet.
Appreciated, but
it's a goblet of port.
You know,
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Port.
It is a lot of port. It
could be in that bookshop. Have you
been to Harry Potter bookshop?
Hold on a second. Nathan, have I told you about our fighting?
All right.
It's the most famous bookshop in the world, apparently.
It looked too busy. I'm not going. No, just take a picture.
Because
of
Harry Potter.
Yeah, we didn't go in.
We
just walked past it.
Laughed at the kids.
And then don't try and bring us back to the football.
No, I'm getting on football. Do you know what? We're bad. We are very, very bad. And I can't see us improving. I think Ten Hag will be out of the job this time next week, and it's very, very sad.
No, I've told you that.
I think it'll happen.
I think it's very, very sad.
Is it an international break after this weekend?
It's the time. Yeah.
That's when it'll happen. If he's in charge, the game after Villa, I'd be very surprised.
Out of interest, which is what? But is it Galatasaray away? Not Cal.
No, the point I'm trying to make is we shouldn't be bouncing from result to result to decide the fate of our manager. That's how low we've gone. Honestly, it's like if you lose this game, you're out. Oh my God, how's that happen? Come away. We have lost our identity. It's just shocking.
Well, like I said,
I'm going to take issue with that because we haven't lost any identity.
Really?
It's the same dysfunctional fucking mess we were last year and the year before. I just hope, honestly, that Ineos have got a bigger backbone than some of the people around this table have, because we are where we are. It was always a 2 or 3 year process. We're in a low point at the moment, but it will improve. I can guarantee that. It will improve throughout the course of the season. But if people are going to lose their heads 7 weeks in, 6 weeks in, we're flying high. We're 21st in the Europa League, unbeaten.
Unbeaten.
Well said. Okay. I'm sort of repeating what we talked about before the point I made before the game, and I ask you all honestly, do you think this team, you know, we keep going through the same process, we need a full overhaul, do you think this team will get us where we want to be, back in the Champions League, top of the league? So how can you say we're in this process?
No, because it's all agreed in the summer when Ratcliffe came out with that statement and said this will take 2 or 3 years to get United back to that level, and it will take 2 or 3 years because Dalot isn't the fullback that's required. But he falls asleep so often he avoided the cult. But you can't change every player in every position. So, but everyone's in agreement that but next summer. I would expect him to be, you know what I mean?
So you still want Ten Hag here next summer? Who's remaining in the Dutch team that we've not signed then? Because that's who we are.
You're being facetious, Danny.
I'll be happy next week if he's not here. That's serious.
You're joking,
yeah,
why?
Who do you want then?
Because I keep saying he's got no plan, and he's certainly got no plan.
But who do you want then, Danny? We're back in that cycle.
That's a different question.
We're back in that cycle of sacking a manager every two or three years. We're back in that cycle.
Unfortunately, I agree with you.
So, put yourselves in Ineos's position, in Ashworth and Ratcliffe's position.
Yeah.
If you're going to pull the trigger at this point, 7 weeks into the season, who are you bringing in? Who's your target?
And I think that's why he didn't go in the summer.
Exactly. Because there was no standout candidate, and I don't think that's changed. No.
Yeah.
Until that does change, I don't see the point in doing it. However,
I don't think Ineos is stupid. I think they've looked at it and thought, you know what? He's going to do this. He's not going to turn things around over the summer. He's not. We finished eighth and we're lucky to be there.
Yeah.
He's not going to turn things around. He's not. Do you know what? It's going to be bumpy. It's going to be bumpy. It's going to be bumpy. And do you know what? We're going to have to lump it. However, the pressure on Ineos must be immense now. It must be immense. And he may yield to it. I think they will. Unfortunately, I think they will sack him. I hope they don't. I hope they think, you know what? No, that's our man. We're going to stick with him. But I think he'll be gone. And I hate it. I really hate it. I wish we would just stick with someone like, you know, Van Gaal. The football was boring. Moyes, oh my God, it was shocking. Mourinho, I hated him. Ollie, loved him, but it was just, I couldn't, oh my God. I just wish we would stick with one and just keep backing them and keep going. And we're not going to. He's gone. We know that. We all know that. Do you know what? All the old fellas walking out the ground today,
all of us looked at each other, waited on the metro. It's like we all know he's gone.
Yeah.
And it's
I think there was definitely a demographic. There was definitely a demographic of people who were leaving.
Yeah.
When we were leaving. Yeah, we and like, that's and I'm not. That's, you know, yeah, and I feel like I'm.
Because like, we've been doing
like,
it so long.
I was almost the odd one out in that. Do you know what I mean?
You would because the I'm average age of that platform down by 10 years. Yeah.
But it's, no, but it's true though, isn't it? Because
we've seen it all.
The older guys have been doing it for 30 years, going swaying up, and they just want to get out and go to the pub. They're kept in for an hour. And that's the biggest thing.
That's sad, isn't it? Yeah, that, you know, if you think it there's something that's going to happen, then maybe it's worth it. But you just know that it's not.
I remember coming out of grounds. Geez, I remember coming out of grounds in 99, and we were coming out in 2000, where you're almost floating and you see other supporters and you don't recognise them, you recognise others, and you're just like all on a high.
I've probably been a bit unfair there. I agree. If it had been a different style of football today and it would have been mega exciting and you'd have gone, let's go on 7th, we might have gone hang about it. This is brilliant. And it unfortunately wasn't at that point. All right, we got a late equaliser. But
are you gutted that you were not, that you missed that?
No.
So that, I think that...
You know,
anything else to say?
Predictions for...
What are your thoughts about Sunday?
Villa away.
Yes.
Not always won there, the history of my life. So at least 3-0.
Hold on, I went there in 1995.
I think we've lost.
Can I say when they were 18 months ago? Ronaldo's last game.
I think we've lost there about twice in about 30 years. Check your stats.
I went there in 1995.
I don't think,
we're
going to lose.
I don't think
we'll win. We're not
going to win. We're not very good, and they are.
They're good. I think
it'll be 2-0. I think we'll sneak a draw.
Sneaking a draw.
Sitting
on the fence again.
Yeah,
I'm going with it.
So if it finishes 5-5, then you still got it right.
I predicted a draw. That's I'm predicting a draw, but I'm thinking 2-2. But if it's a draw, I'll take the credit.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Anything else?
No, bad enough. Fed up.
Right, okay. Yeah. So. Fuck it. Right, we're going to eat some more cheese and drink some more
pork.
To the regiment, glory, glory, Man United. See you later. Goodbye.
Hello, everyone. Live from the dungeon. Oh, and it's getting darker. Thanks to Nathan, Paul and the lads for doing that. At least cheered me up. And Paul Toker, jealous of the goblet support as I just drank water and watched that. I think I need to cheer you up. We're in emergency pod mode. Shane even said, I'll appear when he's sacked, as if the premonition. A man who's, I feel like I've defended, at least someone's defending him, because the defence isn't defended him to the point of, as I mentioned last week, what's the point of an extra week? I mean, what does that do? I can't see him staying now. And I can't still bring myself to utter the words, but I don't know, is that because I've dug a hole, a trench, tried to stick to the process? God, I've heard it enough times. But it's incredible, really, that you let in 24 games, 3 goals or more, and he's still here. It's just I don't think anyone would have survived that. And same fault lines, you take a lead, any half decent side knows, even with the difficulties in Europe, and you'd have taken a draw bizarrely before, but you just shore it up. And the amount of space we had, and I don't know what's gone on with Rashford. He wasn't tracking back as well as he should have. Again, that's a regular thing, but he was looking very good up top. But something's obviously happened for that to happen. I don't believe that was rotation, but you can't say that they aren't playing for him. They just don't know how to play, and whether it's they don't know how to work the system, or my greater fear is a new manager struggling to get a tune out of half a deficient squad still, with new signings that come, and you think, God, they're not arriving at it. Then again, who'd arrive at that shit show? What's the best thing about Switzerland? Well, the flag is a huge plus. I tried to buy some camouflage trousers this morning, but I couldn't find any. as well before the doom starts. Now, I'm not going to be as bad. Monday hit me. I was as low. Wish it wouldn't get to me, part 4022. But I was really down, this mood. And now I'm sort of the thing. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm almost, I mean, I was seeing a good mate. I think everyone's nearly turned. There's the few, sorry to refer to you as comical allies, who are saying, this is it. The forces aren't in Baghdad, but I think this is it, really, isn't it? And Carol Klein, to bring it bizarrely to gardening, got through breast cancer this year. She's Gardener's World, very quite inspiring, nearly 80. And she put about how it all affected her. She put, whatever happens, it carries on. This is gardening. It does what it wants and we'll recover. And I thought that's quite a nice thing for United. But whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And I almost feel like a voyeur to it. God, I want us to win. This isn't a downing tools here. God, I want us to win. But I think there's such an inevitability. Even if he gives him an iota of space after Villa, it's just, it feels like Sunday's a high noon, Witten closing all their wooden doorways. But what then? You know, Brentford will be here sooner or later. We're going to get done heavily. But you'd like to see him change it. I mean, Maguire, God love him. Again, is he world class? But he's better class than we're seeing. Martinez has had a poor start to the season. De Ligt's like a rabbit caught in headlights. But the space we're giving, where is he putting De Ligt? It's like, where is he playing De Ligt? And, you know, even with, again, with these players are not good enough overall, but if you put them in weird spots, and the first thing, if say you let in three goals or more, say on six or seven games, wouldn't you try and do something about it? And the really weird thing is, when he finally did, under Wilcox, whether who had the greater say, for the final part of the last season, it did change things for the better. So to save yourself, change it. You know, why do you have to be so rigid all the time? But stick to the process. I won't try and do. I was going to tweet when we went 2-0 up, but do you trust this United not to keep it? And then within minutes they scored. And you read out again 24 times and you think it's incredible. But I don't want to get into the spot I was Monday. This is supposed to be fun, you know. Two things. Maguire saying after the game, it's a mental issue. It's something we have to come. It starts with belief. And I don't doubt that. But it comes to also, there is, if it's a mental issue and if it's belief, it comes down to the pool collectively and confidence. But the coaching, the management, how we're structured. And it looks terrible. And it's terrible to watch at times. You're just watching it like an old series of Doctor Who with your eyes over. And the concern is that they are actually trying. It's that disjointed. How bad would it be if they did down tools? say Tuchel does come in. And I'd say out of all the alternatives, he's probably the one. It's short term. But we said that Eric needed to kick ass, which he did. Then, because they saw their asses, he had to give them more space. So he'll fall out with them. And then, you know, how many more? You can't lose any more players. There's no one else left to lose. They'll see their asses again. And it's like, the Europa's such a mess. Only five teams have won two games out of 24. The table's just ridiculous. What a format. I really felt for those on the cancelled day trip. There's no gallows humour, you know, oh, they missed, because they're gutted. And I know a few said, like, it's typical if you're ever at an airport and information's so lacking and you drip fed it, and it's sort of like, do they know more than they're telling us? Just what a waste of a day, and really felt for them. And I know they're getting the money back, but it did make me laugh. They're offering them a free Vodo ticket. That's not giving them something, that's punishment. But also, like, read the room. They would have, you know, they'd have already got the Bodo ticket to stay in the automatic cup scheme and apply for a ways. So that's not giving them anything they didn't already have. Again, like Hoyland and the management teams and Delo's just messaged, read the room, please. Onana's player of September. Yeah, dearie, dearie me. And then in my bizarre moments of reflection on Man U in, I thought, oh yeah, we had Victor Valdez here. That was a really weird cameo. Two games, then fell out of with LVG, then played 28 games for Borough. And I also thought, this weird small world that only I'm interested in old memory patches that come out, that Remy Moses played. I thought, oh yeah, he did play under Fergie. Yeah, he played 17 league games in 87-88. What a terrier he was. He was blighted with injuries, and obviously that was his final thing. But he, that 82-83 period, he was so good. 84. He won't talk about United these days. He's a gas engineer. Probably wish we didn't talk about United. Someone described Bruno as Captain Chaos, and I thought, to add to that, he's wanting to do everything, but that ends up doing nothing, and he's become the problem that some were identifying a while back. Where do you play him? How do you control him? How do you temper him? Because use what he's good at, but he's lost control. The pod, they said that it was a mid-table, this squad. I think it's better than that. Striker apart, and good encouraging bit last night was Hoyland. I thought, you know, at least he'd looked, he's not match fit, but he scored. But we look good going forward, and that's the mad thing, that finally get your act together, we score a few against better opposition than Barnsley, and then you're so poor at the back, so poor. I mean, that's probably the worst series. I tried to lie about it, or not lie, that's the wrong word. I've tried to deny what's been staring at me. But that's probably the worst defensive. We've seen worse defenders, but this is the worst defending period we've ever had at United. And I think he's rapidly losing Eric people by the game now. Anyway, Bilbao is still on, lads. We're one point closer to qualification. And what's baffling me, this... I keep reading about this cruise that's taking 3.5 years and you buy like cabins for life or something. It's blowing my mind that. Who gets on a cruise for 3.5 years? Who gets on a cruise forever? What the fuck is that about? Eric, you'll be probably on it soon enough. I said, the pre-season pod, thanks for supporting the pods. Please listen to them all, review them if you can. Sorry, that sounds shite at bad timing. But we said that hope lingers, and I didn't really believe that 8 or 9 matches in, it had been completely disintegrated. Shame, shit, different match days. I really thought he was the one, or at least he would be the one that would lead us to the one, a bit like City, you know, like you improve and then you get a better one. And then cups, we've had joy, we've had such joy, but it can't overwrite the ongoing shit show. I invested so much, so I do feel gutted. I thought he'd sort it, and I just feel sad. And I watched Match of the Day like Danny did last weekend, and Danny Murphy, a scrotum head mark two, but you can't get away with it. You're not doing the basics. If you're not doing the basics, it's not going to work. And that, he said, you don't see enough desire, high energy, and dying for the cause. And I thought, that's a rival seeing. We're basics, we're so bad at. We're top of the worst things in the league. Like, we're 17th worst at the press, but like top or second at being pressed at. It's like bottom of the ones we want to be on top of, and utter shit at the ones we're supposed to be good at. And then I watched Spurs playing out the back, immediate pressure. We stop. Rashford bottles out of a challenge. Like Mark Hughes would say, put yourself about, make yourself heard. Then Dalot putting his hands up. A centre-back to get that much space and make that run. For second, the Martinez bottles out of a challenge. And then it's like, can you blame Unana for these? But it's like, and I think he's a problem overall, but the third, it's like, they're comedies of errors. They're comedy. They're not even worldies we're getting done by. And then Johnson from minute one. It's like, you've got to be at it right from the start. And we never have. And then finally, I'm just saying what you all know. And then Eric from Sunday, I finally listened back and he said, they show great character and I'm really happy with that. And I just thought, you can't be. Come on, you're sounding that end of time United managers that sound so deluded. Yeah, Monday was topped up with the car battery died and the missus booked the wrong flight days. So it was just, it wasn't just hello darkness, my old friend. It was like, can I go to bed at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? And then Nick made the point like, God doesn't love United. Well, he did in the 90s, but I think we all use so many prayers and please, let's just give us this one. Give us this one more late goal. Give us this one more trophy. Give us this one more win. That this is one hell of a payback where he totes them all up and goes, you've still got a long way to go. Where do we go next? I think we all know. And much as I say, this is United, you never know. You never know. I think we all do. Try as I may, I wish I wasn't saying that, but I think we all know what the next podcast or certainly how we're going, and I will be amazed if it isn't. Dare I say it, Polish had said, we've got a new mag in all this and it's changing as with each day. Please support it if you can. Obviously sales at the ground were down overall, so despite the subs, we're still down on last year, so I'm going to print 10% less next mag, but we're getting good red views away from the noise on how you feel, and offer us a letter for the next mag if you can. So please support me if you enjoy the pods. And humour, hates of the weeks, love of the weeks. What do I love? Winning, defending, clean sheets, United making the weeks better. Those things. I'll tell you what, you don't hear about people having lead poisoning anymore, do you? Oh, such and such has got lead poisoning. That's a positive of the week, isn't it? Up the no lead poisoning. Take care, Reds. To the regiment. Glory, glory, Man United. The one certainty I do have and hold cling to is we will be back. I just don't know when. Take care of yourselves.